Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." Purport. At the end of the 9th canto, 24th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden on the earth, how he had manifested his pastimes as a householder, and how, soon after his birth, he had transferred himself to his Brajabhumi Leela. Parikshit Maharaj, being naturally a devotee of Krishna, wanted to hear more about Lord Krishna. Therefore, to encourage Shukadeva Goswami to continue speaking about Krishna and give further details, he thanked Shukadeva Goswami for having described the activities of Krishna in brief. Shukadeva Goswami had said, "Jato gatah pitrigrahad vrajamedhitarto hatva ripun sutashatan kritorudarah utpadyateshu purushah kratubhi samije atmanam atmanigamam prathayan janeshu." The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Leela Purushottam, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationships with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna killed many demons, and afterward he returned to Dwarka, where according to Vedic principles he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. The Yadu dynasty belonged to the family descending from Soma, the moon god. Although planetary systems are so arranged that the sun comes first before the moon, Parikshit Maharaj gave more respect to the dynasty of the moon god, the Soma Vamsha. Because in the Yadav dynasty, descending from the moon, Krishna had appeared. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the king of the moon planet and the other descending from the king of the sun. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he generally appears in a Kshatriya family because he comes to establish religious principles and life of righteousness. According to Vedic system, the Kshatriya family is the protector of the human race. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the Surya Vamsha, the family descending from the sun god. And when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the Yadu dynasty or Yadu Vamsha, whose descent was from the moon god. In the 9th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a long list of the kings of the Yadu Vamsha. All the kings in both the Surya Vamsha and Soma Vamsha were great and powerful, and Maharaj Parikshit praised them very highly. Radnyam cha ubhaya vamshanam charitam paramadbhutam. Nonetheless, he wanted to hear more about the Soma Vamsha, because that was the dynasty in which Krishna had appeared. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita as the abode of Chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vrikshah lakshavriteshu surabhir abhipalayantam. The Vrindavan dham on this earth is a replica of that same abode. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8.20, in the spiritual sky there is another eternal nature, transcendental to manifested and unmanifested matter. The manifested world can be seen in the form of many stars and planets such as the sun and moon. But beyond this is the unmanifested, which is imperceptible to those who are embodied. And beyond this unmanifested matter is the spiritual kingdom, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as supreme and eternal. That kingdom is never annihilated. Although material nature is subject to repeated creation and annihilation, that spiritual nature remains as it is eternally. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that spiritual nature, the spiritual world, is described as Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, or Brajadham. The elaborate description of the above-mentioned shloka from the 9th canto, "Jato gatah pitrigrahat will be found here in the 10th canto. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I would like to take blessings from all the senior devotees, particularly His Holiness Radharaman Swami Maharaj. It is extremely embarrassing for me to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of Him. His Holiness Radha Govind Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Radharaman Swami Maharaj, both of them, when they speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, my God, it is like a river of nectar. And their understanding of this book, their understanding of Krishna Leela, their understanding of the commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, I mean, that is unparalleled. So to speak in front of Him is a tall order. But since I am ordered, I will try and say a few words on the subject matter of the advent of Lord Krishna from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it's a great pleasure to be here back at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and particularly for Janmashtami. This is my first time. I only heard about the Janmashtami here, and very excited after the patron's evening yesterday, seeing the scale at which the Janmashtami functions here. So very much excited and looking forward to the next 1 week of festivities and celebration here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. For over 2 decades we have been hearing in Bombay about this festival, and the glory of this festival here keeps on increasing as we hear about it. So this time, I think it's the first time I'm able to witness. I'm very grateful and looking forward. One time, Albert Einstein and one Gujarati businessman, both were on a plane, you know. And Albert Einstein turned towards the Gujarati businessman and asked him, "Would you like to play a game?" So the Gujarati businessman asked Albert Einstein, "What is the game?" Albert Einstein said, "I'll ask you a question. If you cannot answer that question, you give me £50. He said, "Really? My God." And then Albert Einstein said, "Then you can ask me a question. If I cannot answer the question, I'll give you £5,000. The businessman was very excited. "If I can't answer, you know, I give £50. If he can't answer, he gives £5,000. So he said, "Your turn first, sir." So Albert Einstein, the scientist as he was, he asked the Gujarati businessman, "What is the distance between the sun and the earth?" The Gujarati businessman pulled his wallet, took £50 out, gave it to him. "I don't know, take. You know, give. I don't know the answer." So Albert Einstein said, "Now your turn in the game. Come on, you ask a question." The Gujarati businessman asked, "What is it that goes up a mountain with 3 legs and comes down with 4? Now Albert Einstein was a scientist, and he had never heard something like this. Something walks up the mountain with 3 legs and comes down with 4. So he pulled out his laptop, checked, he called the stewardess, "I want internet connection," checked over Google, he called all his friends from the phone on the plane, and he couldn't get an answer. So he pulled out £5,000 and handed it over to the Gujarati businessman and said, "Take, I don't know what the answer is." So he took the 5,000 pounds, put it in the wallet and very peacefully started singing and looked out of the window. So Albert Einstein got frustrated. He gave 5,000 pounds. He said, I gave you 5,000 pounds. Now you please tell me, what is it that goes up the mountain with three legs and comes down with four? So the Gujarati businessman pulled out 50 pounds and said, I don't know. Just said, I don't know. Srila Prabhupada in his purports speaks about jigyasa, inquiry, and how everyone in this world is wanting to know. Srila Prabhupada says this whole world is nothing but questions and answers. In the first canto purport, Srila Prabhupada says this world is a world of questions and answers. Someone goes to a shopping mall, there is questions and answers. Someone's walking on the street, some questions and answers. How is the weather today? Good. How is the weather today? Bad. Questions and answers. The whole world is about questions and answers. There is jigyasa. There is inquiry. There is questions and answers constantly going on. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, the problem is, most of the times, this inquiry, this jigyasa, this questions and answers is on a very physical platform. People are constantly asking questions and trying to get answers simply to facilitate physical sense gratification. People are constantly asking questions about how to facilitate their sense gratification. You know, my goodness, eating is such a big thing. Such a big thing in the world. One of my friends in Bombay, it was his wedding. And do you want to know how much was the cost of his one plate of food served out in the wedding? One plate of food served out in the wedding. You want to know how expensive that plate was? That one plate of food cost him 150 pounds. And there were 500 people attending the wedding. You can imagine. 150 pounds for a plate of food. And out of that 100, it's not that they added some gold, silver, rubies to decorate the plate. Just like a regular plate of food coming from a very renowned cook, a very renowned 5-star hotel. And my goodness, what a discussion about that, you see. And people are talking about so much about all of these things. Lot of questions and answers going on. And even in the field of education and academics, there is a lot of questions and answers going on. But all of these questions and answers is ultimately to facilitate one's physical sense gratification. At the end of the day, after getting a degree, it's about earning money. And when one gets the money, then what? What's next? Eat nicely, sleep nicely, defend nicely, have relationships nicely. So at the end of the day, all the questions and answers, whether they are spoken or written in academics, boil down to one thing. Physical sense gratification. Beyond that, then there are people, of course, you know, who are inquiring about something more. Who are probably inquiring about life, who are inquiring about the world. There is question and answers about the world. A lot of scientists are on the intellectual plane. They're asking question and answers all on the intellectual plane. Science is all about intellectualism. You know, why the sun is like this, why the moon is like this, why the atom is like this, why the electron is like this. Everything is about questions and answers. Jigyasa, you know. So one jigyasa is to facilitate physical gratification. Another jigyasa is to facilitate intellectual gratification. And therefore, if you see scientists, they're absent-minded professors sometimes. They don't care for eating. They don't care for sleeping. They don't care for their physical appearance. They're like avadhuts. You know, in our ISKCON lingo, we may call them avadhuts. They're completely transcendental to the physical needs of the body. And they're completely engrossed in research. So much so, that a very famous, renowned scientist, when he was in the bathing tub, bathing with no clothes on, and he found the principle of buoyancy, my God, he walked out, jumped out of the tub with no clothes on the body and started shouting, Archimedes, you know, Eureka, of course, he was Archimedes, Eureka, Eureka, started jumping out. So much questions and answers, so much inquiry. Either for the physical gratification or for intellectual gratification. But even beyond physical and intellectual is spiritual inquiry. And Srila Prabhupada says that spiritual inquiry is athato brahma jigyasa. To inquire into the absolute truth. To inquire into the supreme personality of Godhead. That is the ultimate inquiry. You know. And therefore a lot of inquiry goes on. But Brahma Jigyasa is about spiritual inquiry. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about questions and answers. The Srimad Bhagavatam is all about inquiry. It is all about Brahma Jigyasa. Where we find Parikshit Maharaj sitting on the banks of the river Ganga and inquiring into the absolute truth. You know, the Bhagavatam is nothing but a response to the questions asked by Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, such an incredible personality, such an incredible devotee, and this personality, for a small apparent fault of his, was cursed to die in 7 days and 7 nights, you know. And when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, he decided to just quit everything, just give up everything and come and sit on the banks of the river Ganga to pursue Brahma Jigyasa, you know. Not just some questions and answers for physical gratification, not just some questions to satisfy the itch of the intelligence, but he asked questions for the ultimate pursuit of the absolute truth. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Sringi to die in 7 days, it was a tough call for him. Just 7 days left. Death is a very scary experience. Very scary experience. Parikshit Maharaj left behind all what he had toiled for. He was an emperor, king, ruling over the entire planet. Everything was his. There was nothing on planet Earth that didn't belong to him. He had supreme sovereignty, supreme controller. Anyone would hear him. Anyone would listen to him, you know. And here was he, cursed. Life is very funny. Very funny. Very strange. How life shows its ugly face in front of us. God, we just don't know how it comes, you know. For Parikshit it was Sringi, and for each of us there is some Sringi, you know. Some Sringi, life has one Sringi in store for all of us, and when that Sringi comes, we are a victim of insecurity. All those things that we took shelter of, all those things that were so secure for us, suddenly start being left behind. Parikshit, voluntarily, on his own choice, by his own choice, left everything behind. Pashu, Dravina, Bandushu, his animals. Someone may say, what is so big about animals that he left behind? But in those days, animals were like today's cars. You know, so if today's we would say, he left behind his cars, then you would say, oh my God, good, good. He left behind his Jaguar. He left behind his Bentley. He left behind his limousine. He left behind his Mercedes. Then you say, oh yes, he's a great soul. He left behind many cars. When we hear Pashu Dravina Bandushu, Pashu, we hear, what is the big thing about leaving some cows and horses and elephants behind? Because we don't value them. In that age, that was valuable. Today's age, cars are valuable. He left behind all of these things. I'll tell you, to leave is very difficult. Hard-earned money to leave is extremely difficult. Someone works for it. Someone has power and control. My God, it's hard to leave. In India, in Bombay, one of our friends, his father was dying. And his father was dying. And he was doing like this, you know. While dying, he was doing like this. He's dying. He's dying and he's doing, you know. So, of course, he was dead. And then we went for the funeral. We did the final rites, had a program for him, did kirtan and everything. And after the whole thing was over, then we asked this devotee, why was your father, you know? We didn't understand why he was doing like this. Then this devotee said, my father was a cloth merchant. All his life, he was measuring cloth with his measuring tape and cutting cloth with the scissors. And even in the final moment as he was leaving his body, he was just, you know, doing like this. Doing like this, you know. It's very difficult. Extremely difficult. I remember when one of our devotees was leaving his body. He was only 33 years old. He had melanoma cancer. and this cancer was ravaging his spine, you know. My God. What was most amazing is while he was leaving his body, his guru was next to him. All the devotees were next to him. 500 devotees were surrounding the room and chanting Harinam loudly. And when this devotee left his world, he had a smile decorating his face. It was too much. It was like, you know, someone saying, can you please smile for a photograph? Cheese. You know, when you say cheese, to just make someone smile. He had a broad smile decorating his face. I was right next. He was dying. While he was leaving his body, I was right next. You know, right next to him. And I saw him count his final breaths, leave. Smiling. Stunning. I thought, wow, what an amazing death. This is what it means to die. I'm ready. If it's like this, you have to die. Well, amazing death. I'm laughing, smiling and dying. My goodness. I don't think I will die like that. Seeing him. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanand ki. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Jai Shishi Gauranitai ki. Jai. And I remember this devotee's guru, he had to tell this person's wife when he got news that he had melanoma cancer. The wife was 6 months pregnant, you know. And when the child was born, the doctor said, you have only 6 months to live. And the wife with the little baby was standing right there. I mean, we were all there witnessing the scene, you know. My God, very painful experience. And then his spiritual master was telling the wife, if it is possible, you please see your husband leave. You will definitely be around. Can you kindly just not be in the scope of his presence, direct presence now? Let him leave. Let him leave. Don't let him hold on now to anything, you know. Let him just go peacefully. Let him think of Krishna now. Let him think of Krishna. Let him not think of any of these worldly things. Pashu, Dravena, Bandhusu, you know, Suta, Apta, Daraha. Let him not think of anything. Let him just focus his mind completely, ekeha, on Krishna and leave. It was very painful. I mean, I remember I was standing there and I was thinking, my God, this is just too much. How? I mean, his wife, his daughter. I know all the philosophy. I have heard the philosophy, read some little bit of Srila Prabhupada's books. And I knew, yes, it is important to focus on Krishna. It is important that we don't get entangled with these things. It is all important. I knew it. But emotions are emotions. And they are real. When we live in this world, they are real emotions. So I'm seeing this and I'm thinking, my God, look at this lady, you know, her husband is leaving. And she can't even go right there close. But she was a very nice devotee, so she understood that I have to facilitate my husband's onward journey. He stood away. Parikshit Maharaj, you can imagine, you know, voluntarily gave up all of his pashu, dravina, bandushu, his property, everything. As soon as he heard this curse, 7 days left to live, he came. And to quit something material, my God. How many of you lost 1 pound? Ever? Did you feel bad about it? No, okay. Okay. Fine. You are not from a Marwadi family from India. I am from a Marwadi family in India. For me, 1 pound? My God, today the rate of the pound is 105 rupees. 105 conversion rate. If you get 105 rupees, I lose. My God. Has any of you ever lost 10 pounds? Either just lost it or stolen. Anyone? Felt bad? Maybe a little bit. Anyone lost 100 quid? 100 quid? Felt bad? No? You are of a very high socio-economic status, looks like. Even with 100 quid lost, you may not feel so bad. My God. Anyone lost 5,000 quid? Oh, Krishna. Felt ecstatic? Blissful? No? Anyone lost 10,000 quid? No businessman for the class looks like this morning. My God, there was a guy, he was on a boat and his one penny fell into the river. So this guy jumped into the river to save that one penny. Now you don't get it, it went straight down. So he jumped into the river to get that one penny. And as he jumped in, after jumping he realized, I don't know how to swim. He jumped in for that one penny and after jumping he realized, so he started shouting, help, 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 help. So there was one friend on the boat. He said, okay, I'll help, don't worry. Please, give your hand. He said, help, no, help. He said, give your hand, we will help. No, no, help, help. So then, the other guy on the boat, he said, he's such a miserly man. He doesn't understand the give language. Say, take my hand, he'll hold it. So this guy said, take my hand, and immediately he grabbed it. People don't understand the give language many times. Take language, they understand very well. I'll tell you, every hard-earned dime, every hard-earned penny, every hard-earned cent, good heavens. People sometimes give me some gifts, and you know, like a phone, a computer, whatever, they give me a gift. Even that is not hard-earned. I didn't earn it, I didn't buy it. But there is so much attachment. My God. How many of you start panicking when your phone is not found? Huh? How many have realized that when in the morning the first thing that is on our mind is I want to charge my cell phone? How many feel think first thing phone has to be charged for the day? First thing in the mind comes. One can imagine Parikshit Maharaj voluntarily leaving behind sovereignty over the planet and coming to the banks of the river Ganga. And easy to quit things, you know, still okay. But guaranteed, there is guarantee, in 7 days life will end. I, at least for myself, I know one thing. If I know the problem, I'm not just going to sit and hear katha. If I know that the problem is coming, I'm going to put all effort to counter that problem. If I know that I have some issue in my body, I'm not going to sit and say, please speak Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. As soon as I know there is a problem, my mind gets consumed by what are the multiple avenues to find solution to those problems. It's as simple as that. The human mind works like that. The human intelligence works like that. As soon as there is a problem, we try to look at what are the solutions to the problem. What are the shelters that I can find? My money is my shelter, my family is my shelter, my security is my shelter, the doctors of this world are censored, medicines are my shelter. Immediately the mind gets consumed by solutions to problems. How many of you have ever had a conflict with a devotee, at least internally? I'm not talking externally. Externally is not a venue, I'm not a forum to discuss. Internally, we have had so many times. How many times we realize that many times the problems are imaginary? The mind just creates the problems and imaginarily, just thinking about it, he's like this, he's like this, he thinks like this, she thinks, what does he think of him, what does she think of herself, what is it, blah, 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 my God. Imaginary problems, and then the mind also imagines solutions. Quite a powerful mind. Imagines a problem, and also imagines a solution to the problem, thinking, if I do like this, probably he will bed better. If I do like this, I think the relationship will be sorted. If this, while saying if, he lands in Cardiff. You know, if, the ifs, buts and thens. My God, the mind gets consumed by problems. Problem is such that it takes over the consciousness like a drop of oil on water. You know, drop of oil on water. When we put a drop of oil on water, it doesn't stay a drop. The drop of oil on water spreads all over the surface and consumes the surface of water. Such is the nature of problems. Such is the nature of realities in the world. Any little thing consumes the mind completely. Oh goodness, Hare Krishna. little thing, you know, some little thing. In Italy, we were for this Pandav Sena trip, Villa Vrindavan, and I got stung by a wasp. Straight come and stung me on my hand. And for 4 days, the pain was not going off. My mind was just totally there. Chanting Hare Krishna, where? Chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavatam, taking darshan, the mind is focused on pain. Nature of the material mind. Focused on pain, physical pain, emotional pain, focused on pain. If I'm misunderstood, am I chanting only or thing I think of is my misunderstanding with people? If my body is going through some physical disability and problem, my mind is consumed by that problem. To get absorbed in Krishna is a very difficult thing. Because the nature of the mind is it gets consumed by physical and emotional problems. You know, get completely consumed. The nature of it, a drop of oil and water, spreads all over the surface, you know. Here is Parikshit Maharaj, sitting there, you know. 7 days, 7 nights left for his death. Problem, it's a real problem. And Brahmana's curses worked in those days. You know, thank God they don't work today. My God, in Kali Yuga, for the drop of a hat, you would give a curse. I curse you to become a snake. Here was a curse. It was a real curse. All curses worked and this would work. All blessings worked and another blessing would work. Blessing works, curses worked. Here was Parikshit. Not just leaving behind Pashu, Dravina, Bandhushu. Not just some physical assets left behind. Not just a family left behind, but confronted with a real problem. Money can consume our mind, family can consume our mind. But more than anything else, a life threat consumes our mind the most. What a painful experience. And here is Parikshit sitting on the banks of the river Ganga, not making plans how to counter the problem. Not making plans how to counter the problem. Sometimes problems are just beyond countering. Yashoda Mai, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, when Krishna ate dirt, and his holiness Radha Govind Swami Maharaj, my God, when he speaks on the Mrida Bhakshan Leela, he can go on and on and on. Yashoda Mai asked Lord Krishna, 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 said, yes, Mama, eating dirt? No, Mama. Telling lies? No, Mama. Open your mouth. Krishna opens his mouth. And in Krishna's mouth, she sees all the universes, everything she sees in the universe, planet Earth, in that she sees Vrindavan, in Vrindavan she sees herself looking into the mouth of Lord Krishna, and she is bewildered. The universal creation of Krishna bewilders us. Maya Shakti of Krishna in the form of these material universes is meant to bewilder us and create insecurities for us. That is the purpose of the material energy. If everything was secure here, how would we take shelter of Krishna? So he created it in a way that we are impelled to go towards him. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada once said, Srimati Radharani and Durga Devi work in collaboration with each other. And he said, Srimati Radharani, Durga Devi is another face of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada said, on one side, Srimati Radharani stands. On the other side, Durga Devi stands and we are in the middle. From behind, Durga Devi pokes with the trident, go towards Krishna. And there Srimati Radharani pulls, come to Krishna. You know, they both work in collaboration to help us reach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. You know, Yashoda saw in the mouth of Lord Krishna all these universes and she started thinking, what is it? Am I in a sleep? Is it a dream? Is it a dream that I am seeing all these universes in the mouth of Krishna? Or is it some demigods who are casting a spell over me? Uta Deva Mayaya? Is it some Deva Maya that the demigods are casting a spell over me and suddenly I think that something is happening to me? What is it? Am I awake? She's pinching herself, trying to ascertain the cause of all her bewilderment. She's trying to find out, why am I bewildered? Why am I seeing this? And Srila Prabhupada explains. She realizes, I can't understand. I don't know what the cause is. It's beyond me.
beyond me to understand why I am seeing in the mouth of my son all these universes and all these planets and stars. Why?
Yashoda Mai did one thing. Srila Prabhupada comments on this. She took shelter of Krishna. She knew that the cause is beyond me. Many times when things happen in life, the cause is just beyond us. When the cause is known, we can do things about it. When the cause is unknown and we are helpless, we can't do anything about it except turn to Krishna. There is no other way. Many times we cannot do anything. Physical problems, misunderstandings, emotional things. Many times we can't change people. No matter who we are and what we are, there is one person who just never appreciates us. And we try to fix that issue. Nothing works. What can we do? Why is he behaving like this? I don't know. Have I done anything to him or her? No. Have I been a perpetrator of injustice to that person? No. I have no clue why that person deals with me like this. But he or she deals with me like that and I don't know why. Several times, causes of what we go through are just beyond us to understand, in as much as Mother Yashoda could not ascertain the cause of why she was seeing all these universes in the mouth of Lord Krishna. She knew one thing. I have to turn to Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj knew one thing. I can't counter the curse. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj had the ability to counter the curse, but a Vaishnava as he was, he decided not to counter the curse of Sringi. Sat there, you know, on the banks of the river Ganga, 7 days, 7 nights, trying to absorb his consciousness in hearing the words of Shukadeva Goswami. Questions and answers. What is the duty of every person? In particular, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Let me know. You know, he's speaking, asking these questions. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is an answer to that question. Those two questions. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about Jigyasa. Jigyasa made by a great Vaishnava like Parikshit, who knew that I'm helpless, I must turn to Krishna. And he asked these questions to Shukadeva Goswami to get answers. And here is this book. Some people sometimes argue and say, hey, why did Krishna not save Parikshit Maharaj from the Brahma Shap? Sringi was a Brahmana, so it was a Brahma Shap. Why didn't he save? He saved him from Brahmastra. He could save him from Brahmastra. He couldn't save him from Brahma Shap. Why? When he was in the womb of his mother Uttara, Lord Krishna came and saved Parikshit. What was the problem? He could have saved him from this curse of Sringi also, Brahma Shap. Three reasons why he didn't save him. First one, when Parikshit was in the womb of his mother Uttara, he was the only last person in the Kuru dynasty. There was no heir to the throne. But when Parikshit was cursed by Sringi, he already had a son Janmejaya to take over. The acharyas have explained. So then Krishna protected Parikshit because there was no one to rule righteously. But now when Sringi cursed him, Janmejaya was already there. So Janmejaya could take over the throne. Secondly, Krishna did not save Parikshit from this curse and from death because death is certain. This way or that way, through a curse or through no curse, death has to come. What is beautiful is the response. Vaishnavas, the way they respond in calamity makes them shine forth gloriously. You know, how they respond to the calamity is incredible. Death has to come this way or that way, some way or the other. I have been telling last so many times, I don't know if I said the last time properly. Yeah, this summer I came. Last year I was saying this devotee is dying in the Nepal air crash from Chaupati temple. 8 of them on their way to Muktinath, going to take darshan of Lord Muktinath. Why Krishna did like that? Why Krishna did like that? So many of our senior devotees in our movement, why Krishna had to take them in an accident? His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj met with an accident. His Grace Aindra Prabhu, what a sad accident. Why Krishna has to do like this? What about Parikshit Maharaj? Isn't it a legacy? Isn't it a parampara? Where, I mean, we have to go this way or that way. One way or the other, we have to go. Some way or the other, we have to go. You know, sometimes it just becomes inconceivable.
I'm sure many of us have seen that and experienced. Why is Krishna doing like this? Yesterday our Shruti Dharma Prabhu was saying, you know, some of the devotees were questioning, we are working so hard for the patron dinner. Can't Krishna just tell Indra not to rain? Huh, we have worked so hard for the patron's dinner and it's all set, the tent is there, the water will come in, people may not come. Why can't Krishna just do things, let him do things properly. See, we are practicing devotional service, why doesn't he understand this? Huh? Why can't Gokulananda understand the simple point? I am understanding so many of his points from the Gita. Why can't he understand this one basic point, Let him just take this basic point home. That I am not serving the material energy any longer. I am trying to serve him, no? Huh? Yesterday the patron's dinner was what? To serve some party and have a discotheque dance there? With all these lights and come have some rock music? No, it was kirtan, it was Krishna consciousness. Why rains? Still a simple problem compared to Parikshit Maharaj, isn't it? My God. Krishna did not protect Parikshit Maharaj from that curse because Krishna wanted to show the world death this way or that way is an ugly reality. This way or that way. Sometimes people say, oh, he died in peace. He died very peacefully. There is nothing like a peaceful death. Sometimes people say, oh, he died in sleep. He died in sleep. So he had, no, his face was very peaceful. He died in sleep. There is nothing like a peaceful death. It is a myth. Peaceful death is a myth. There is nothing called as a peaceful death. People struggle internally. This way or that way, death has to come. What is beautiful is how devotees respond to that. So Krishna wanted to reveal through Parikshit Maharaj how a devotee would respond to a calamity like this. He could have definitely cursed. Shringi back. Parikshit was a powerful devotee. He could have counter-cursed, no? His response was, what is the point? Cursing, counter-cursing, cursing, counter-cursing. This devotee did this to me, so I'll do this to him. This devotee did this to me, so I'll do this to him. Is this a Vaishnava's response? That's not Vaishnava's response. Vaishnava's response is, he did this to me. Probably my karma. He was the purifying agent who has come. Krishna has sent him. It'll all get cleared off. Thank you, Krishna. Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra ganga cha devi dhritachittamishe vijopasrishtaha kuhakas takshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnugatha. Let whatever that snake bird or whatever that Shringi has said, let it come. Bite me right away. O Shukadeva Goswami, I don't care. Let it bite me right away. But gayata vishnugatha. You please chant the glories of the Lord. Therefore, it is not the situation that makes a person glorious or unglorious. It is the response that makes a person glorious or unglorious. How we respond in the face of calamity is what differentiates us from anyone else outside. Vaishnavism is about turning a calamity into an opportunity. Bhakti is the science of transforming a precarious calamity into an opportunity. Here was Parikshit Maharaj, such a great devotee, who transformed a life-threatening calamity into an opportunity to respond in such a glorious way that for ages to come we would talk about him. For ages to come we would glorify him, And that response made Parikshit Maharaj glorious. Therefore, Krishna didn't save him from the Brahma Shap. Although he saved him from the Brahmastra, he didn't save him from the Brahma Shap because he wanted to show the nature of a Vaishnava's response. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, 1977, Krishna Balaram Mandir, his room, lying there, final breaths, dictating purports to the Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 14, Prayers of Lord Brahma. Those purports are treasure mines of the deepest truths and realizations of Krishna consciousness. I have read Prabhupada's purports, tried to, but that chapter, those purports are like a treasure mine of deepest realizations of Srila Prabhupada. You know, here is Srila Prabhupada. I mean, finally the end comes to all. Those who take a body, end comes to all. Spiritually, he is always with us, but in his manifest pastimes, he left us. And here is Srila Prabhupada lying there. And his last words, kuch ichha nahi. No desire left. You know, quite an amazing thing to do. Lord Krishna glorifies his devotees in amazing ways. Therefore, he did not save Parikshit of that curse of Sringi, although he could have protected him. And the last, third reason why he didn't save Parikshit is, he saved him from Brahmastra, not from Brahmashap, because he wanted to give him Brahmagyan. Brahmagyan is spiritual knowledge. You know, the Srimad Bhagavatam had to manifest. And in order for the Srimad Bhagavatam to come, Lord Krishna allowed it to happen. Allowed it to happen in the way the sequence of events went on. Parikshit sat there, heard 9 cantos about the greatness of Lord Krishna. 9 cantos about greatness. Only when we hear about someone's greatness can we appreciate his sweetness. The 10th canto is the sweetness of Lord Krishna. The sweetness of Krishna with his Brajvasi devotees. Yashoda, Nanda, the gopis, you know, all his cowherd friends. Amazing. Personal life of Krishna. It's a window into the personal life of Krishna. But one can never appreciate the personal life of Krishna unless one knows Krishna is great. Therefore, there is greatness and there is sweetness. 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam prepare us for the greatness of Krishna. By talking about how he creates, how he annihilates, how he has his Narsimha avatar, how he has his Kurma avatar, how Kurma holds the Mandara mountain on his back. We are fascinated by supernatural things. Fascinated. America's Got Talent is a show. I think Britain's Got Talent is also a show. Now they have in India also, India's Got Talent. AGT, BB, BGT, IGT. A very famous one. Someone sent me a link of America's Got Talent, a video. And I opened the link on the YouTube. It was a magician called Kevin James. My God. That man, Kevin James, had a stretcher. You know, like a hospital stretcher. And one guy was standing right next to the stretcher. And this Kevin James comes with a saw and just passes the saw. And he cut that man into two. Half the portion was on the stretcher and 2 legs were standing there, still standing. And then this Kevin James bought a tray and put that half part on the tray and brought it on the stage and kept it on the floor. Half the man is still standing near that stretcher, that operation table, and half the part is on the ground. And then he called a lady from the audience, showed this man is dead, and the lady came and tapped him, and this guy got up and held her hand. This half the man. And this half portion on 2 legs started running. And then this guy, Kevin James, put him on a tray again, brought him on the stretcher, and took a stapler. You know what a stapler is? A staple with staples. And stapled him, and this guy got up and started dancing. He won an award. America's Got Talent show. We are fascinated. Fascinated by supernatural things. You know, in my talks, I do magic tricks sometimes. I don't do it in a Bhagavatam class, of course. But in my youth talks, sometimes I do some magic tricks. Like I just show my hands, and I usually wear half sleeves shirts. Now I put a jacket because it's cold. I have half sleeve shirts. So when I have half sleeve shirts, I can't hide anything anywhere. So I just show my hands like this. Free. Nothing in my hands. And then I just turn one of my left hands into a fist and pull out a cloth out of it. And then I even make it disappear. And people are fascinated. Prabhuji, can you tell us how? Then I say, I gave so many Bhagavatam classes, you know, I never asked one question on the Bhagavatam. When I did something like this, repeatedly, Prabhuji, can you tell us how you did that? So fascinated we are by these things. You know, the supreme magician Krishna Srila Prabhupada said, fascinates us. 9 cantos fascinate us. Krishna's creation is fascinating. incredibly fascinating. Prabhupada was talking to a guy and Prabhupada was saying, so you just tell me, one, answer my question, one question you answer. You answer one question. So this man was saying, what are you saying, Swamiji? What are you talking? What are you saying? What do you mean? So Prabhupada said, just see, and fortunately we also have in the scene today a coconut tree, just in the scene. Prabhupada said, just see that coconut tree there. You can see the coconut tree. And Prabhupada said, how much water do they put on the coconut tree? Tell me. Tell me. You tell. How much water do they put on the coconut tree down on the road? So this man was saying, Swamiji, they put some water. They have to put water for the tree to grow. That I know, but how much water they put, you tell me. He was as if he's telling Prabhupada new information that you have to put water on the tree. How much water do they put on the tree? So this man kept arguing. Then Prabhupada said, just look at the coconut. It has a shell. It has fiber all over it. How did the water go inside? Prabhupada's asking this man, you tell me. You tell me, how did the water go inside? And the water you put is not sweet, that water is sweet. How did the water go inside? So then this man started saying, Swamiji, this is about osmosis. This is called the principle of osmosis, that when you pour water, then it goes up the tree. Then Prabhupada said, so if you have a big building and you are staying on the last floor of the building and you want water to go from the bottom up to your building, start using the principle of osmosis. Why you need a motor? Srila Prabhupada is asking him, why you need a motor? For water to be sent up there, you need a motor. So what is osmosis? It's Krishna's motor. We can't stop getting fascinated by Krishna's magic. Nine cantos fascinate our minds by how Krishna creates the whole concept of the Mahatattva, 26 elements, all intellectual struggle. How did this combine? What was it that combined to make the creation? Fascinating. And then we are prepared, after understanding the greatness of Krishna, we are prepared to understand the sweetness of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj is sitting there. Already about 9 cantos are over, which is 3.5 to 4 days out of the 7 days are over. He's not taken a grain of food. He's not taken a drop of water. And he has definitely not slept at all, you know. And hearing class like that is very difficult. Wednesday, when it is Janmashtami, 28th, and when we fast all day without water, just imagine if it is announced, now today, Gaur Gopal Prabhu is giving a Bhagavatam class at 12 midnight. How many people will come for the class? Hare Krishna, I doubt. I doubt. People will say, Prabhuji, you also join us for breaking the fast. While eating, we can discuss Krishna Katha. We will all sit together, and while breaking our fast, we will have a nice Krishna. You can bring Bhagavatam also along, no problem. We will discuss while we are honoring Krishna Prasadam. Very tough. Very tough. Physical needs are very important for us. Our Krishna consciousness goes smoothly when prasadam goes, rest is done, proper rest has been done, proper prasadam has been there, health is alright, then please speak now. You know, any one factor is not in place. No, Prabhu. Today, mind is not here. Where is the mind? I'm quite amazed. If one is hungry, mind is not in Krishna. Hunger consumes the mind. If one is full, mind is not in Krishna. Sleep consumes. I don't know, when will the mind be consumed by Krishna? If one is hungry, mind is thinking, I can't hear attentively, I can't chant, I need to eat something. In Chopati, some of our brahmacharis, our breakfast is at 7:15 a.m. You know, for some of our brahmacharis, they know 7:15 is breakfast. So sometimes during japa, they get so disturbed that they're so hungry. They go on a japa walk. And the japa walk, the ultimate prayojan is in the kitchen. You know, they enter into the kitchen to see what is. They enter in the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. What is for the prasadam menu today? Hungry, cannot focus. Full, cannot focus. When will we focus? So much are we carried away by the demands of the body and the mind that focusing on japa, katha is so difficult.
Parikshit Maharaj, not eaten, not slept, not a single grain of food, not a single drop of water, 3.5 days, 4 days. My God, one Nirjal Ekadashi is sufficient. And here he is sitting, Krishna, fully focused, completely focused on what Shukdev Goswami is trying to tell him, you know. Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan 1 year for Janmashtami. And as he was there for Janmashtami, all day everyone had fasted and so had Srila Prabhupada. 12 o'clock, everyone was sitting, Prabhupada on the Vyasasana, all the sannyasis making two rows and all the devotees on the two sides, like leaving an aisle between. And Srila Prabhupada, as it was getting 11:30, said to one devotee, "So, you please read the Krishna book now." So he started, chapter 1, Advent of Lord Krishna, you know, and they continued to read. And as the devotee was reading, Srila Prabhupada, he had his eyes closed, but in meditation, completely absorbed in hearing about Krishna. All the other devotees, it was 11:30, whole day of fasting, service, many were sleeping. And the devotee was telling the story, was saying that the sannyasis who were sitting in the line with their dandas, they were sitting with their dandas, so as they were falling asleep, the dandas were also, you know, doing dandavat. You know, their dandas were also falling on each other, doing dandavat. And Srila Prabhupada, it was getting 12 o'clock. Prabhupada said, "Next chapter." And he kept going. "Next chapter." 12:30, 12:15. Now everyone was getting restless. You know, Prabhupada, "Next chapter, go on." Finally, Prabhupada realized, "I can hear, they cannot. So I think now we can break our fast." Then he went, "Jai Srila Prabhupada." Now it is time to break the fast. "Jai Srila Prabhupada." And everyone came to break their fast. Parikshit Maharaj, you know, absolutely focused on hearing the glories of the Lord. And what is the proof that he was so focused? In the 9th canto, as Prabhupada comments here, chapter 24, Shukdev Goswami gave a brief summary of Krishna Leela. If any of you ever wanted to know, how can you tell Krishna's life in 8 lines, 2 verses? In 2 verses, full life of Krishna is described by Shukdev Goswami. You know why? Because he was thinking. Look at this man. He's not eaten a grain. He's not taken a drop of water. He has not slept. I think I should be considerate. I'll just talk to him this much and stop it. He will understand. I'll just elaborate. I'll just a little bit briefly speak about Krishna. He'll understand. Sometimes speakers have that challenge. You know, when they see the audience in a state of samadhi, then they have to speak in brief. They are ready to speak in elaborate detail, but they have to speak in brief when they see the audience in a state of complete samadhi. The only person who doesn't have the privilege to sleep in the class is the speaker. Everyone else is privileged. They can catch up on the sleep very well in the class. And no one's going to question them. I've told the story earlier, one time one devotee in Bhaktivedanta manner. I tell the story all over the world, wherever I go. One devotee sitting right here, I was giving talk, he was sitting right here, not just sleeping, he was snoring in the class. Here! In front of me! Not joking, really. I tell the story all over, wherever I travel. Special story from Bhaktivedanta manor. Sleeping right under my nose and sleeping under my nose. Sleeping to theek hai, it is okay at least. But he's snoring. Other devotee in a Prabhu class, he was okay. So again, went into the world of snoring. It was background music for my Bhagavad Katha. My God, too much. No, he can't afford to sleep. Everyone else can easily take it easy. You see, very tough. Challenge. So speaker sometimes, you know, has to kind of cut short. Everyone's, no one's interested. Finish it. I'll be free. They will be free. Let them go sleep. You know, one senior guru gave a Janmashtami lecture, long Janmashtami lecture. And after the Janmashtami lecture is over, he came and he saw in the temple, all the devotees were sleeping. You know, So he asked one devotee, what is this going on? He said, the devotee said, Maharaj, after Krishna Leela, this is Mahavishnu Leela now. You spoke on Krishna Leela, now this is Mahavishnu Leela. Everyone is in states of stupor. You can't speak elaborately. So Shukdev Goswami thought, he's not slept, he's not eaten, he's not drunk. I'll give a brief summary. And what was the brief summary? 6-7 things he said. First, Krishna appeared and immediately his father carried him to Vrindavan, Gokul, so that he could interact with the Brajavasis' loving relationships. What did he do in Vrindavan? Second thing, Hitwa Ripun. He killed all the enemies and demons, reduced the burden of earth. Okay, what did he do after that? Krishna went to Dwarka and married all the queens and Shatasutani, thousands of sons were born from Krishna and the queens. What did he do after that in Dwarka? Oh, he taught by his example, Atmanam, Atmaha. He was meditating on himself by teaching the Grihasthas to get up in the morning and set up an example of how, he set an example of how one should live in Grihastha life. What did he do after that? Oh, he went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, finished all the Kauravas and established Dharma, justice, enthroned Yudhishthir Maharaj. What after the Gita was spoken? Bhagavad Gita. After the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke the Uddhav Gita to Uddhava. And what after that? He left for the spiritual world. Two verses Shukdev Goswami summarizes Krishna Leela at the end of the 9th chapter, you know, the 24th chapter of the 9th canto. And then Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukdev Goswami, oh my dear Shukdev Goswami, Katitaha Vamsha Vistaraha Bhavata Soma Suryayo Radnyam Chobhaya Vamshanam Charitam Paramadbhutam. Very elaborately you told me so many dynasties of the sun and the moon god and the kings there. You told me about so many incarnations. You told me about Narasimha Leela. You told me about Ram Leela. You told me about everyone. Everyone you told me. Now, you please, Vada Vistarat, elaborately explain Krishna Leela. He is the person I am attracted by. Vishnu Hoveriani, I saw him. I saw him in the womb of my mother. I saw him. That is why I got my name Parikshit. I want to hear about him. Please, Tani me Vada Vistarat, Vistar se, elaborately. Describe, not in two verses. You told in two verses. Ram Leela you spoke. You spoke about Narasimha Leela. You gave one canto for Narasimha Dev. Why Krishna Leela you are only telling in two verses? And Krishna is the abode of all sweetness. Such sweet rasas he can exchange with his devotees. Imagine Narasimha Dev's Bal Leela. You have Narasimha Dev's Bal Leela. Narasimha Dev goes to steal butter. And when he goes to steal butter, when his mother comes, if he had a mother, if the mother comes to chastise, if he just shows his teeth, mother will run away. What Bal Leela can Narasimha Dev have? Huh? Imagine the Madhuri Leela of Kurmadev. Ras Leela, Kurmadev. Tortoise incarnation having Ras Leela with whom? She tortoises? Come on! How can you have all of these pastimes? So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, you have told me about all these different incarnations, about the Soma dynasty, the moon dynasty, everything. Please, now tell me about the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and his sweet pastimes. At the end of 4 days of fasting, that gentleman still has the eagerness to hear about Krishna. You know, Janmashtami is not just a festival. Every day is Janmashtami. Because Krishna appears every day in the life of his devotees. Janmashtami we celebrate to commemorate that day technically on which Krishna appeared in Mathura. Every single day is Janmashtami. On the banks of the river Ganga, as Shukdev Goswami was talking to Parikshit Maharaj, every moment was a Janmashtami. Krishna was appearing in a very dynamic way every single day. But in order for Krishna to appear, then one has to have this one quality of Parikshit. And that quality is eagerness, laulyam, intense eagerness. Even at the end of 3.5 days, 4 days of fasting and no sleep, he still has the guts to ask a question. You please tell in elaborate detail. Sometimes when a speaker speaks, you know, and the time is over like it is now, I'm ending. And as the clock strikes 9, and after 9 o'clock, and the speaker may say, any questions? And if anyone raises the hand,
everyone becomes like, you know, Muchukunda. To burn him to ashes. You have the guts to ask a question. Now it's breakfast time, man. We are eager for the most important agenda of the day. How can you ask a question now? You don't ask in a public forum. You have a question? Let him say, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, then go and eat his head for 2 hours. No problem. Go and bother him as much. Don't bother us. Breakfast time is up. You know. Here is Parikshit Maharaj. You know. Eager to ask this question still. After fasting for 4 days. And tomorrow in our continuation of the 10th canto, we will hear furthermore what Parikshit says. And in the summary, we will go through 7-8 chapters over the next 2 lectures.